Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe, and I've got my buddy, Venerable Tom Dorian, here.
Hello.
Waiting on that miracle.
Yes.
And so excited to have you here.
Thank you.
Tom, but
it's good to be here.
We're missing Sam.
We are.
A lot of people don't realize this about Sam, that he actually loves cats.
Oh, I knew that.
And, well, okay, you knew he loved cats, yeah. But what you didn't know was that he actually belongs to the Society of Cat Herders.
I could see that.
Yeah, and so he's off at a national convention or something,
yeah.
And basically what they do is they just herd cats.
It's not a rodeo quite, but it's
yeah.
pretty close.
Yeah. It ends with rodeo night,
right.
But it's very quiet.
Yeah.
All you hear is, you know, there's not much, not
lots
exciting rodeo.
It.
Yeah,
lots
yeah.
of it.
Anyway, we wish him
yes.
well, and he'll be back, I'm sure, soon. So we are continuing through the Summer of Holy Matrimony, and I got to tell you, I keep getting feedback, and I'm so excited that so many people are listening, and that tells us a couple things. One is, A, we got a couple of listeners. That's kind of nice. But B, mm-hmm. it tells us that this is material that people want to hear.
Striking a chord.
Yeah, I think it is, and I think it's important. And if we're talking about like a world that just seems like it's kind of going in the wrong direction in a lot of ways, things like marriage and family, that's the way out. I mean,
right.
obviously that was ordained and revealed by God at the sacrament of holy matrimony. And so we need to revisit all of this stuff and rekindle our desire for marriage and, you know, make our married lives better and then prepare to be married in a way. I think that's how we change the world.
I do, too.
And how we make the world a better place in the way that we can do it. And certainly that's always with God's help. Now, we just spent our last show talking about authentic communication and intimacy, and really the characteristics that go along with authentic communication. And now we're going to talk about maybe a little darker subject.
Still communicating.
It's communicating.
Hopefully.
or lack of communicating.
Right.
We're going to talk a little bit about conflict resolution. And the reason why this is important is because I've said it several times in this show. We've talked about the fact that when there's a problem in a marriage, 99.9% of the time, it involves communication.
It does.
And more importantly, the lack, I guess more precisely, the lack of communication.
Mm-hmm.
So what can happen is we've talked about this one flesh relationship, and the whole idea in sustaining that one flesh relationship is basically to fight off, to ward off the obstacles, the intrusions, the enemies to your one flesh relationship.
Right.
Now, again, you do that with the grace from God and with the power that God affords us in the sacrament. And so it's not us necessarily fighting evil, but we're in the battle.
Right.
Right. We're on the battlefield. And so anything that works against the one flesh becomes a problem. So when we have a conflict, and let me tell you something, folks, a lot of people think like, you know, with marital bliss, it's just awesome. Everything is wonderful. You know what? We don't fight. We just
right.
we giggle a lot, and she's always bringing me breakfast in bed, or he's always making sure he does the dishes.
Right.
He does all this, or he took the trash out, and I didn't have to ask him. You know, it's like we hear these wonderful things, and then invariably, Tom, you and I both know that when we're talking to that person, we realize, yeah, they've been married 6 months. You know, it's. And I'm not saying that's bad, because I love the honeymoon phase.
Right.
And we can extend that honeymoon phase, and we can also have a re-honeymoon phase.
We can.
And I encourage that for all married couples, no matter how long you've been married. I love seeing people who've been married 50 years, and they're having another honeymoon phase. That is awesome, right? And it's possible, right? So, but what I will say is that inevitably, you are going to have a conflict in your marriage.
Oh, yeah.
Invariably, you will be on opposite sides of a fence, whatever the fence is, mm-hmm. whether it's finances or relationships, whether it's work, whether it's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to be on the opposite side of that fence. And the thing is, you always have to be aware, how do we do this in a way that's going to be productive and not reductive or not destructive. Mm-hmm. Right? We want this to be okay. Because you are never ever going to live a life without conflict. Mm-mm. Now I can say, I love Bess so much. Hi, Bess. I know she's listening, and I love her so much. And I myself have had to work over years making sure that my pride didn't get in the way. And I find that we have fewer really bad arguments. Mm-hmm. We've had some doozies. Mm-hmm. They were all her fault. But I won't tell her that.
Of course.
No, I'm kidding. Because the honest truth is, in hindsight, I look in the mirror and go like, oh, wait, I'm the one who's, oh, goodness gracious, I'm so sorry. But the reality is we've had fewer of those as time has progressed. And I think it's because of what we're getting ready to talk about today. I think it's mm-hmm. because of like this conflict resolution, this idea that conflict is going to happen. Sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes it's okay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's good. Mm-hmm. But the reality is it can become an enemy to the one flesh if you don't watch out. Mm-hmm. And so here are some things. We're going to give you – now, we like to do top 10 things here. We've done them for years. We've had top 10 lists. This is not really a top 10 list, but there happen to be –
pretty close.
There's 11 things.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
That we came up with. And there's probably more. Mm-hmm. So I want to be clear. There are more. So a couple things to say again. You will have conflicts. Mm-hmm. And then also, we always have to recognize that people have different love languages. People have different ways of expressing things, of saying things. They have a different way or different desires. If you were to ask them, like, what is love or what is it? They'll have different answers. So we have different types of people. We have all those, you know, that we've got the five love languages. We've got the Myers-Briggs, you know, stuff. We got all these different things, and we have the... a melancholic and choleric and whatever. We have all these different ways to identify and put people in boxes, which is not necessarily a good thing. Mm-hmm. But it does tell us that people react in different ways. Mm-hmm. And not to assume... Tom, I imagine that when you say something, Cindy always understands exactly what you mean.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, you live in that fantasy world.
I'm a phenomenal communicator.
I'm sure you are. You are a phenomenal communicator. The reality is that people are different, especially
totally.
Husbands and wives.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
we've
totally.
Talked about that we are complementary and all these
Viva
things.
Viva la difference.
Yes, exactly right. And we are equal but different, right?
Right.
So keep those things in mind. So here's some things I think that will help when the conflicts start happening or as conflicts kind of unfold mm-hmm. before they get too bad. Okay, so number one on our list is listen. Now, when I say listen, I mean really listen, right? A lot of people don't understand what that means. Like, oh, I listen. I heard her. She's screaming at me. It's like you're not listening. You are not listening to what she is saying, or vice versa, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. We talked about it. Did you stop and listen? Because here's what I'm guilty of. I am guilty of when someone's talking to me, and let's just say it's a spirited, passionate conversation. I'm a strong believer in what I'm saying right now, and the other person is as well, and we're having a conversation. I am so easily drawn into this thing where I've said my mic drop moment, I've said my great thing, and then they come back with something else, and they've got something to say, and I'm not actually listening to what they're saying because I'm actually thinking about how am I going to top that last thing I said? Where am I going to take this next? What am I going to... I'm having a conversation in my head that's not happening outside.
It's more of a chess match for you.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm manipulating, right? That's not listening. Mm-hmm. Listening is actually going, what are they trying to say? And so one of the things you can do is you can say, okay, so you just said this. You repeat it back to them. It's like... If I'm hearing you correctly, are you saying this? So that tells them that you've listened to mm-hmm. what they've said, mm-hmm. right? You may not agree. You may say, is this what you're saying? And they say, yes, that's what I'm saying. You've got that. And I say, well, here's why I disagree with it, or here's something else to consider. That's a way better conversation than you not listening to what they're saying.
Yeah, thinking of your next mic drop.
100%. And that's yeah. how, and that's one of the bad things social media has done for us,
right.
I think.
Yeah.
There's a lot of mic drops. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some damaged mics out there.
Oh, because
we've been dropping them left and right.
Yeah.
So the second thing on our list is, you know, be honest, but don't get personal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one's important because I think a lot of people, you know, it's good to always tell the truth, right? It's always good to say what is true. But you can do a lot of long-term damage, right? When you start using words like mean and selfish and childish, hateful, stupid, right? You know, when you say things like that, you need to keep that to yourself, because that's an irrational proclamation that in that moment may be something hateful that person said. Mm-hmm. But when you say they're hateful, I mean, those are the words that wound and they cut deep into a person. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to be personal attack. So if someone is being hateful to you, try to disarm a little bit and try to reason and talk through it. But don't do that where you are accusing them and basically emotionally defining them.
Right.
That's not a good thing to do. Next on our list is don't go to bed angry. Now, you've heard this. It's a bumper sticker.
That's hard to do.
It is hard to do. You got to work at it.
Actually, all of this is hard to do.
It's going to be harder for, and some of these will be harder for to do than others, mm-hmm. right, for different people, mm-hmm. right? Everyone's going to have their one, like, I ain't doing that.
Right.
I like their top 10 list, not top 11. I ain't doing number 11. I ain't doing that. But anyway, don't go to bed angry. And one of the things about that is, you know, it's common because it's true. It really is. And really, it's one of those things where, you know, it's okay to take some time. Sometimes you need time away. Sometimes something made you so angry, so upset, it's not going to do anybody any good to talk about it right now. So maybe I need to just blow off some steam. I need to go somewhere. I need to relax or something and just clear my mind for 2 hours or something. But the reality is doing that overnight is a problem. And the reason why it's a problem is because one person's going to forget and the other person's not, and they're going to be madder. And it's going to be a whale of a time the next day, mm-hmm. right? It's not going to be good. And also, you didn't resolve the conflict. Mm-mm. You didn't get to the point where you guys were together, mm-hmm. right? And I think it's really dangerous to go to bed when you're angry and say, we're going to sleep it off. It's not like a drunk, you know? It's not like a full meal or some other kind of hedonistic thing where it's like, oh, you just sleep this off. You know, I just need to relax and get a good night's rest. A good night's rest is not the reason why you had the conflict.
Right.
Right. You need to resolve that conflict or work at resolving that conflict, at least to talk about where you are before you go to bed.
Right.
Right. And it's not easy to do.
No.
And I'm sure, Tom, as you're going through here, I think Cindy would appreciate it if you would offer some personal examples of where she has gone wrong many times with doing these things. I'm sure that will go over well, too, in the household.
Yeah, that's what I need right now.
So, all right. So the other thing on our list, another on our list is don't go to extremes. Mm-hmm. We are so eager to, like, paint a picture that is like, to win the argument, we have to say things like, you always do this, or you never do that.
Right.
Say, don't go to extremes. Don't use extremes that way. Mm-hmm. Because when you do, it's like, because now when I hear that, not necessarily from Bess, she doesn't do that all the time, but we all fall into that trap and do that every once in a while. But when I'm hearing someone say, like, oh, they are always, it's like, I want to ask a question. Are you saying that every single time they do this, right, that there's no exceptions? Are you mm-hmm. saying always mm-hmm. or never? It's like they have to go, well, no, I didn't mean that. It's like, well, so you're embellishing the story. You're painting a picture. Mm-hmm. Well, that becomes, again, manipulative. You're trying to sway the opinion of the judges, mm-hmm. right, by giving what seems to be something, you know, to win your argument or win your fight. And there are other extreme words that involve things like, you are destroying our relationship. You're killing us. This is devastating. You're ruining, wrecking, right? How many times have you heard in politics, oh, the Republicans or the Democrats, they're imploding. They're caving in on themselves. And this is horrible. They're off the rails. And you hear that stuff. And it's like, if every day somebody is off the rails, then they never were on the rails. It's like, stop with the extremes. Mm-hmm. Dial it down and be more reasonable in your assessments. And I think then the conflict is going to be easier to resolve mm-hmm. in that setting. Okay. So there's a lot of people that, I mean, we don't like the silent treatment. Mm-hmm. No one likes the silent treatment, mm-hmm. but it happens a lot more often than, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to wait for them to apologize. I'm not going to say a word, right? And I actually think that the silent treatment is mistreatment. I think the silent treatment is used as a weapon. How is it used as a weapon? It's used as a weapon to make the other person filled with shame and guilt, mm-hmm. right? And also, here's the cool understanding about the silent treatment, the thing that people need to understand. Silence is the opposite of communication, mm-hmm. right? So it's really, really bad when you're communicating and you're electing, when there is a problem, when you're electing not to use words. Mm-hmm. Now, we've talked about the fact that you can have intimacy and communication without words, but with actions. But the reality is, in a conflict, right, when you are arguing, you're not usually arguing with actions, right? You are literally, there's an issue that needs to be discussed. Silent treatment is the opposite. Mm-hmm. You're not discussing.
Right.
Right? And so, again, we got to avoid the weaponry, right? Take that out of your arsenal. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's the next one, and this is probably really easy for you, Tom, and that is to admit when you are wrong.
Totally easy for me.
Is it?
No. I don't think that's easy for anyone, do you?
No, it's not. It really isn't. It's like, the first and greatest sin is the sin of pride.
Right.
It's of all the deadly sins, the seven deadly sins, it's the first one. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like the reality is we just don't like admitting when we're wrong. And the sooner when you recognize you're wrong, now sometimes we don't recognize we're wrong. Mm-hmm. That's why we do those other things. We listen. We're not getting emotional. We're not getting personal. Like, we're not going to bed angry. We're discussing this, right? We're not using extremes, and we're not silent about it. So we're talking about it. So if you're actually listening mm-hmm. in this way, then you're going to discover at some point in time if you're wrong or not.
Right.
And when you recognize that you are wrong, or that you have a part to play in the wrongness, mm-hmm. maybe you're not totally wrong. Maybe there's blame on both sides. But the reality is, as soon as you admit it, it de-escalates.
Totally.
It de-escalates. It's like, a couple times where I felt like I was still right, and I'm sure Bess has done the same thing with me. We'll probably talk about when she hears this. Mm-hmm. Is like, I'll say, like, you know what? I am so sorry. I did not intend for this to get to this level at this mm-hmm. point. Mm-hmm. And for my part in that, I apologize, please. And I'll tell her, just the other day I said something, kind of mean. We were in the car, we were driving. It's like, you know what? I was having a low blood sugar moment. And it's like, I let that get the better of me. And I got cranky for a second. And it's like, or they call it hangry.
Yeah.
And I needed a Snickers or whatever at that moment. Mm-hmm. And that helps. It just de-escalates everything.
Yeah, I think if you take ownership, the quicker you take it, you can cut off the past, a lot of this other stuff you have to go through.
And I'm not telling you to say you're wrong when you weren't.
Right.
But I am saying you can say things like, for my part in this argument, I am wrong and I am sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize for what I have done to escalate this into a shouting match or whatever that's gotten us to this point. That didn't happen just because one person was belligerent and the other was like just an angel like you, Tom.
Right, exactly.
Or an angel.
Exactly.
Exactly. Okay, so another one another expression you've heard, and maybe I'm showing my age, but tit for tat. You've heard that expression. I don't even know what the origin of it is, and I hope it's not something obscene. But the point is, at the end of the day, doing something because somebody else did it doesn't make it right.
Yeah, you're keeping score.
Don't keep score. Mm-mm. Because you did that, it does not give you license to do that as well.
Back to me.
Right? Or equal or even more.
Right.
Or less. And that's the stuff that I think people don't realize is they go like, well, hey, this is fair game.
Right.
If you're gonna talk about my mother, I'm gonna talk about your mother.
Right.
It doesn't make it right.
Right.
Right? And so we have to be aware that while some things, you are allowed to cry foul, by the way. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to say, hey, that's not fair. Mm-hmm. It's not fair to talk about my mom that way or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you're not allowed to do what they did to you.
Right.
Right? So no tit for tat. That's never acceptable. Because otherwise, all it does is, it escalates. It
that's
just
exactly
builds
right.
one after another. Because you still want to win the argument, right? So you're going to... the bully, you hit the bully, he's going to hit you back harder.
It's pretty juvenile, too, when you think about it.
It is. It is. People don't want to think about the fact that they've been married for 50 years, but they're being juvenile.
Right.
Right. But the reality is we still have that little kid in us a lot of times. Another thing my mom used to say, and I've heard it said before, another thing of wisdom is counting to three. Mm-hmm. Right. There are wise things. When you're getting ready to say something, just take a breath and just actually let your lips actually touch each other. Mm-hmm. Don't like be perched like you're in the action pose, ready to pounce, mm-hmm. right? That's not a good 3 seconds. But if you count to three, or however long it is for you, maybe it's 10, but for me, it's three. You, it's like, I'm getting ready to say something. Man, I want to say this right now. It's like, wait. One, two, three. Now, don't count out loud.
Boom. Then you say it.
Count. Well, yeah. Yeah, here comes the boom. No, right. You know, counting to three, don't count out loud. That defeats the purpose. That's like in your face. Like, I'm getting ready to bring something on you, but I'm going to go ahead and be the big person, and I'm going to count to three. No, it really does help diffuse your emotions. It's amazing how passion works. Yep. You think passion works, it builds up, and then it explodes. If you can, like, take a deep breath, mm-hmm. long enough to take a long, deep breath, the passion will quell. It really will. Like, it's like it won't boil over. Mm-hmm. It's like turn the knob down on the stove, and it's going to instantly react. The pot, the boiling water is going to instantly just calm down a little bit. Still be hot, mm-hmm. but it's going to calm down. It's going to save you saying some things that you regret later, yeah. right? Yeah. And so you want to be careful for that. And speaking of that, that's the next thing we're going to talk about. Don't say something you can't take back or undo. Mm-hmm. Man, there are lines you should never cross. Mm-hmm. There are things that, like, and it's different for other people. Mm-hmm. For some people, it's like drop. Close your ears, everybody. But dropping the F-bomb, saying something that, like, is way out of league, and not that you don't accept it. It's not good language. And yet you drop it into an argument, mm-hmm. that's a line that you should never cross. And so that's something Bess and I we've never done. Mm-hmm. You know, in anger, shouted something so horrific at the other, mm-hmm. right? But it's not just that. For some people, it's saying something like, I can't trust you anymore. Mm-hmm. Wow. I said, like, wait,
big.
Are you saying you're never going to trust me again?
Yep.
Right? And so we have to be mindful, there are horrible things like maybe this relationship with was a mistake. I'm not sure I love you anymore.
Right.
These are things that, like, you may have a passionate feeling at a moment, but you do not. That's not something you say that you can't take it back.
Those aren't mic drops. Those are nuclear bombs.
Those are exactly. They are destructive. And that's one of the worst things that happens in a relationship.
Yeah.
And people say, like, oh, we talk like that all the time. It's like, then I don't give you. Much hope for your marriage.
How do you get out of that when you do that?
It's really hard.
Yeah.
Okay, because think of it like this. Think of it like infidelity. Mm-hmm. Like, you've been married for 20 years, and you step out on your husband or your wife, mm-hmm. right? Every time, even though there may be reconciliation, forgiveness, confession, all these things, and you're back. You're back together. You love each other. You didn't stop loving each other, but there's that moment, right? That you did that. So the next time that you are away, you're out of town, you're late getting home from work, and the other's at home waiting. In the back of their mind, they're wondering:
is he doing it, or is she doing it again?
Is it happening again?
Right.
Right. And that's something that won't go away. So don't cross that line.
Right.
Just whatever it takes, stop. Mm-hmm. You know, so don't say the things that are going to wound in that way. Yeah. Don't do the things that are going to wound in that almost permanent way, mm-hmm. that's really hard to come back. Can you come back? Yes, I've seen it happen. But, oh, my goodness, it's not easy.
It's difficult.
It's a lot harder. And you can also, by doing these things, you can avoid those moments, right? Mm-hmm. Another one is, number 10 is, every argument should be ended with the words, I love you. Mm-hmm. This is a beautiful way to do things. If you say that, you know, it's not like, it's like no conditions, no strings, no equivocations. I love you, right? Both people say it. And what you're doing basically is you're recognizing the seriousness of the argument, mm-hmm. of the discussion, the conflict, right? And you're confirming the purpose and the goal of the argument is to be together and to be in love. Mm-hmm. And again, it's another hard thing to do. And don't go, like, I love you, with your teeth clenched. That's not what I'm talking about. You need to express genuinely sincere love.
Right.
And that's that again. That's a game changer when you start doing that thing. Number 11 really isn't one of its own, but because it doesn't happen every time. But there is a recognition that there are times when there's a need for professional help.
Big proponent of that.
There are people that their job is basically to sit and listen and maybe be a sounding board and maybe offer some advice, et cetera, et cetera. Be careful with who that is, yep. You know. But at the same time, it's not always something that just you and her or you and him can work out
right.
on your own. Mm-hmm. Right, because that's failed many, many, many times. Right? There's a lot of I've seen a lot of train wrecks where it's like y'all should have talked to somebody.
Right?
Because I'm a big believer in talking with like another party, a third party.
Yeah.
Where like, well, what do you think about this? Am I wrong? I mean, online we see, am I the what? You know, there's mm-hmm. we see these kind of things where people are like, I just had this encounter. Am I the jerk in this situation?
Right.
You know, and it's like you want to have a sounding board. Mm-hmm. And so that presumes that you want to know the truth, and sometimes you need to seek outside your relationship to be able to find that. Doesn't mean that every time you have an argument, we need professional help, and right. we're going to be paying $350 an hour, you know, to this group to go and sit and work it out. But, you know, sometimes professional help is a good thing,
yep.
right? So all of this stuff, this is really, really powerful stuff because communication is so, so stinking important, right? Remembering those watchwords of authentic communication and intimacy, right? The vulnerability, the trust, the honesty, the openness, and the listening. You remember those things, and then these work these conflict resolution things in before things get too bad and too rough, mm-hmm. and things, I promise you, your one flesh relationship will be beautiful.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.